Chapter 10, the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and chapter 10. And then let's just begin this message with prayer. Father, I'm a hungry man. I've hungered for Holy Ghost revival for many years now. Father, I do not understand why it has stayed so long. I do not understand why we are struggling with a spirit of wickedness and compromise and coldness that is so overwhelming. I pray, Father, across our radio audience and internet audience and in this church this morning, forgive us for anybody, any one of us that's careless, that spends more time with television than we spend on our knees, that spends more time with things of no spiritual value than we spend in the valuable acquaintance and intercession with the Heavenly Father. Bring us humbly to thy presence, O Lord. And this morning, I claim the blood of Jesus Christ, that blessed Son of God, upon this audience and upon every listening person. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I pray. And amen. Now, I am preaching this morning on a simple thought. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. I wonder if this entire family would say with me those words, nothing but the blood. Say it together, nothing but the blood. The whole Christian faith is built squarely and entirely and utterly upon the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There are many religions in the world, but there's only one true plan of redemption and salvation, and it is by the blood. And I want to preach this morning on what the blood will do for you. What the blood will do for you. How many heard what I said? Let me see your hand. What the blood will do for you. Now, I'm telling you, if you will listen this morning, you will have greater love and respect for the blood, or at least as great as is possible to have, because it's nothing but the blood. And I read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, many people do not note that he entered in once into the holy place. That holy place is the very altar of God in the heavenly temple, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's a place where only God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost occupy. Angels are there and can worship. There can be beautiful praise by men and women, and we can enter in by the Holy Spirit and by the blood. But it's a sacred place, and the Bible said that Jesus entered in once, his own blood, entered in once in his own blood, and he obtained eternal redemption for us. Now listen, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. That's the Old Testament. It was a shadow of the New Testament. How much more shall the blood of Christ? How much more shall the blood of Christ? How much more shall the blood of Christ? Listen to this now. Who through the eternal Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, that aided and that strengthened and that anointed Jesus as he walked through the shadows of death, as he died on the cross, as he took that blood and entered into the holy place, through the blood of Jesus. I love that. I love that. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God? Without spot. Notice that. There was no sin nature upon him. There was no acts of disobedience in his life. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Neither in his mouth. Purify that blood, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Let me read another verse or two, and I want to belabor this. But look at chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. All right, the question. My message this morning. The question. Nothing. Well, not a question really. It's just a strong statement. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. I'm going to give you seven things, if I can get there. I'll get part of them anyway, that the blood does for mankind. Seven things that nothing on the face of this earth can do but the blood for mankind. I'm going to give you seven things. They're powerful. They're powerful. If they don't bless you, you know, all I can say is I want them to bless you. I really do. Father, help us now to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying this morning. You have poured this message into my heart. You have poured this truth upon me. It's blessed me to the core of my being, Father, to know such truth and to preach it is such a joy. And I claim it to be so. In Jesus' name I pray and amen. Now, you may be seated. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. There are three things the Bible says in 1 John 5 that bear witness on this earth, from heaven, on the earth. There's three members of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And there's three witnesses, three testimonies on the earth. It is the Bible, it is the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Those three powers together is dynamite. Those three powers together are supernatural powers. Those three powers together are life transforming. If our world could get back to the preaching of the blood, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, by the word of the living God, revival would break out, I'm telling you, all across the land. I'm doing my best to cry forth. I'm doing my best to encourage other preachers. I'm sending it to every one of them I can and saying, preach the blood, preach the blood, preach the blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you things that this blood does. Number one, nothing but the blood can wash away the guilt and the sin in a human life. Nothing but the blood can wash away the sin and the guilt in human life. The blood of Jesus was given specifically by the Father to wash away the sins of the human family, those that would believe and those that would trust Him. The blood will cleanse from sin. And the wonderful truth of it is there is no sin so vile. There is no sin so dark. There is no sin so wicked. There is no sin that is so blasphemous other than blaspheme of the Holy Ghost. Now you understand, you know that's one place in the human life that you cannot go and then return and get forgiveness. If you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, what do you mean blaspheme the Holy Ghost? Make fun of Him? Reject Him to a fault until literally you turn Him away from you? Belittle Him? Proclaim dirty dog, rejecting things about Him? I don't know the full extent of blaspheme of the Holy Ghost. Only God knows when that happens to a life. Only God knows when that occurs in a life. But I can tell you one thing, don't you play with the person of the Holy Ghost, because it was by the Holy Ghost that He offered His blood upon the cross of Calvary. And it's by the Holy Ghost that He applies that blood in your life. But other than that one thing, there is no sin that the blood will not wash away. Think about that. Think about some vile person. I'll never forget speaking in a Jewish synagogue here in Charlotte on a Saturday night some years ago. I'd been asked by the rabbi, whom I'd made friends with, if I would come on Saturday night and speak to them. He didn't say preach, but you know me, that's what I did. Well, I went and was delighted to go and speak to them. Laid before them the truth as I understand this Bible. And when I had finished my sermon, they were allowed to ask me questions. And one man said, Reverend Chambers, I would like to know if God could have forgiven Adolf Hitler of what he did to the Jews. And of course, I remarked, you know, that's the ultimate question that a Jewish person would probably ask me in this hour. That was some 25 years ago, probably. I said, you know, that's a question that really may not be an easy one to answer, but I'm going to do my best. I said to them, you know, Adolf Hitler was so wicked and so godless and so blasphemous. It is my opinion that he had blasphemed the Holy Ghost and everything holy and everything pure. He had blasphemed the Spirit until there was no turning around in his heart. There was no turning around in his life. But one thing I can say to you, dear friends, if he could have come to Jesus Christ and asked for forgiveness, you must understand the blood of Jesus Christ would have washed him as clean as the riven snow and would have made a new person out of him, because that's the power of the blood. I declare to you this morning that the blood of Jesus can cleanse every guilt of sin. The blood of Jesus can cleanse every guilt of sin. I can walk you through the Bible. I can show you a demoniac of Gadara who came running down out of the tombs where he was a wretched man and fell at the feet of Jesus. And the last time we saw him, he was seated at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Clothed in his right mind, he was made a new creature. He was made a new creature. I can tell you of Mary Magdalene, who was possessed of seven devils, who was a godless woman, who probably walked the streets of Jerusalem selling her body But she came to Jesus one day, and she repented of her sins, and she turned away from her wickedness, and she became a saint of the living God. Oh, I declare this morning, it does matter whatever sin you've committed. I'm ready to condemn sin, but I want to tell you that He's the Savior, and the blood of Jesus can wash away any sin that any person in this room has ever committed. He can cleanse you. He can make a new creature out of you. Think about it. Think about it. About God taking a lady who has been sinful, who has committed fornication or some other sin, and who's lived in that sinful state. And they come to Jesus, and He washes away every ounce of that guilt so that it's gone. They are clean. Their mind is clean. Their heart is clean. The guilt is gone. They are a new creature. You hear me? That's the greatest miracle that ever happens in a human life. Anybody with me this morning? He'll wash away any sin. He'll wash away every sin. Hear me? He's the Savior who gave Himself by His blood. That blood atones for sin. Now, the wonderful thing about the blood, it does not stop with washing away your sins. It does not stop in that it cleanses you from your guilt. It does not stop in that the conscience and the whole personality is suddenly free. Most people don't understand what sin is doing to them. When a person is living in sin, it's a slow death. When a person is living in sin, it is day by day dragging them down to the gutter. It is day by day reducing them down to a helpless creature. Sin will do damaging, dark, dirty things to you and to your life. You hear me? But Jesus will wash them away. And when they are washed away, you will feel as light as a feather. You will say, what in the world happened to me? Why didn't I know this was available a long time ago? That guilt is gone. The weight is gone. My shoulders feel like something has happened to 1,000 pounds of weight. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Amen. Somebody say amen. How many remember when your sins were washed away? How many remember? Hallelujah. Now, He doesn't just wash away sin. The next thing this blood does, it cleanses you from the power of sin. It cleanses you from the power of sin. It sanctifies you, in other words. It cleanses you to where you don't want to live in those sins. I get amazed. As a pastor, I'm constantly dealing with people who call me on the radio, whom I meet on the street, whom I meet in some place of business, or even, you know, whom I meet in churches sometimes. And they're so bound by the lifestyle of sin that though they have come and professed Christ and professed to be religious and professed to be born again, they've never been delivered from the power of sin, so that they cannot overcome. And they feel such a victim of this power. I want to tell you something. The power of sin will make a victim out of you. And it will possess you until you feel so utterly helpless. Why? Why do many people refuse to come to Christ? Why do you invite people to church? And many times you can look in their face and see they'd like to come. Many times you deal with people and you can see some desire. Had a man in my office a few days ago. He's been around this place because of school for probably 5 or 6 years. He has told me over and over, I'm a backslider. I want to come back to God. I'm coming. I promise you, Reverend Chambers, I'm coming. Well, he came because of trouble, and I looked at him. I looked at his face, and I said to him, sir, call him by name. I said, I see all over your face the pain. I see the hurt. I see the bondage. I see what you're going through with. I see what's happening with you and your companion. I see what's happening with you and the children. And I just sat there hurting, just looking in that man's face. And I can tell you what I saw. I saw a man bound with sin, and he doesn't realize that Jesus will set him free of it. And though he could get forgiveness, that would be easy. But to get free of it, he don't even understand. He can't grasp that Jesus can break the power of sin so that you don't want to live in sin. So there's no bondage to live in sin. So there's no bondage to lie and cheat and steal, because he doesn't just forgive you of sin, he breaks the power of sin. The blood of Jesus does that. Are you listening to me? The blood of Jesus breaks the power of sin. It don't matter what it is. It don't matter how great of a bondage it is. It doesn't matter how dark the feelings of it is. The power of sin is broken when you let the blood of Jesus do his work in you. Would somebody raise a hand? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, the power of the blood doesn't just forgive you of your guilt. It cleanses you from the power that caused that guilt. Hallelujah. That's got to be one of the most wonderful things in the Christian faith. Listen to me. I know how many people I've met who said, I would love to be a Christian, but I just don't think I can live it. Well, I agree. You can't live it. That's what the blood of Jesus was given for, to change the matter of whether you can live it or not, and would cleanse you and break the power of it. Hallelujah. Sin has no power like the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody help me now. To me, that second point is one of the most important in the church world. And it's something, Brother Dylan, we need to preach everywhere we go. We need to tell everybody we meet, hey, you're bound up in things that have locked you, and you don't put them down. Don't just come at them like a bulldog in a china closet, which I've been guilty of doing a few times. But let them know, hey, whatever you are bound by and you think you can't be free, Jesus will set you free. Jesus will set you free. How many have been made free by the blood of Jesus from your guilt and sin? Hallelujah. You don't want to lie no more. You don't want to cheat no more. You don't want to steal. You don't want to do any of those things that maybe you could have used to do. You drunk whiskey or beer or wine or smoked cigarettes. I tell you right now, he'll break the power of any of those habits in a snap of the finger. He'll break them. He'll take them loose from you and throw them in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and you'll be free of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what the blood of Jesus will do. You say, the blood of Jesus, could it really enable me to enjoy living a Christian life? Absolutely. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Well, let's go a little further. You know, the human life is full of weakness. And somebody asked me this question yesterday on the radio and asked me, would I please explain the difference between sin and human weaknesses? Between sin and human weaknesses. And this is always a real careful place that you must walk, because a lot of people want to call their sins just weaknesses. And a lot of people want to label every weakness you've got a sin. And so there is a distinction between the human frailties. Let's call it right now. Human frailties and sin. We all are human. We all have weaknesses. I don't mean sins now. We all are human. How many of you are human? Let me see your hand. Are you sure you're human? No, I can tell you whether you're sure or not, you are. And I can tell you, there'll be times when you will be absolutely disgusted with yourself. I've had people say to me, I don't like you. I just used to say, I don't like me sometimes myself, you know. I agree. I mean, we have weaknesses. Sometimes, you know, you just get aggravated too easy. Anybody like that? Some people have a tendency to just be a little bit jealous, you know. Just a little bit jealous. When we have people around from the school and they start loving on Sister Chambers, I have to fight being a little bit jealous. They love her more than me. You know, they really do. I don't know. There's never been a kid in this school that didn't love her more than me. You know, but I'm not really jealous. There are things that can make me jealous, though. But that wouldn't be one of them, because she's part of me. But I want to tell you something. There are so many frailties of the flesh. There are many frailties of your flesh. But I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus will give you victory over every one of them. Are you listening to me? The blood of Jesus will give you victory over human weaknesses. Lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. Lay aside those human weaknesses. Lay aside those frailties. Lay aside, you're easily aggravated. You're easily jealous. Whatever it might be. But I want to tell you, Jesus will cleanse you from all of that. I know by personal encounter that he will cleanse you of anything that bothers your walk with Christ. The church is full of people who are genuine Christians, who love the Lord, but who are still a bit carnal. And that carnality keeps them from growing and becoming a spiritual person with spiritual anointing and with great victories in their life. Well, I'm here to tell you, he don't just cleanse you from sin. He don't just break the power of sin, but he wants to do a work on your flesh. He wants to do a work on your human personality. He wants to do a work on everything you are. I know many Christians who are genuine, but they've never disciplined themselves. They have no self-control. They can't order the affairs of their life in a regulated and disciplined fashion. He'll cleanse you from that. Do you hear me? He'll cleanse you from that. He'll give you discipline in your life. I think that's got to be one of the greatest afflictions of the flesh in all the world. Is that tendency to be a bit undisciplined and to not discipline one's life. Well, Jesus, by the blood, will wash that away. How many believe these kind of things, huh? Did you know the blood isn't just to save you and to break the power of sin? It is to mature you until you become a great saint of God. He wants you to be a saint. He wants you to live in such a fashion that everybody that knows you says of you, hey, that lady is a saint of God. I've come to love that person. I respect them. I respect them highly because I see the dedication and the discipline of their life. Now, here's another one that is so powerful to me. It really got a hold of me this morning. You know, most of the church world doesn't have a lot of joy. How many are aware that you see many Christians that have almost no joy? They just hang in there. You know, just hang in there. That's about all. Just they make it. They keep on making it. And that's good. I want to tell you something. The blood of Jesus Christ by his death and his sacrifice was given to open up your heart and to fill you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the will of God. Read the book of St. John chapter 17 and you'll see Jesus talking about a sanctifying grace. And then you'll hear him talk about that joy that comes with a sanctified heart. Oh, I'm here to tell you, he wants to fill you with joy. The blood of Jesus has paid the price to fill you with joy. Did you hear me? The blood of Jesus Christ has paid, if anybody believes this, raise your hand with me. The blood of Jesus Christ has been offered to fill you with joy. He wants you to be a bouncing bubble ball, butterball for Jesus. He wants you to be a shouter for him. He wants praises and adorations to fill your mind and your life. He wants you to be so joyful that people look at you and say, man, where did you get such joy from? I want that. Well, that's the blood of Jesus. That's the cleansing power of his death on the cross. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody lift your hand and just say with me, I want that joy that comes from the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, this is a growing concept. This is what happens to a Christian when they're not satisfied just to be saved. When they're not satisfied just to be sanctified. They're not satisfied just to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They want to go on and on until it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, until they fill the church with their shouts and their praise and their adoration, and they raise the level of anthem in the house of God. Woo, somebody help me. God wants this place full of joy. It hadn't been full of joy this morning. I've tried my best. I know I have joy. I know I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. I just want more. I want so much that I stir every sinner I meet. I want to tell you something. There is nothing that will grip a sinner that you meet and witness to like seeing the joy of the Holy Ghost in your life. It will get a hold of sinners. I mean, they are miserable. Oh, you say, I see sinners that are not miserable. Ain't no such thing as a sinner that doesn't have misery. Some of them can cover it up better than others. But if you're living in sin, you're miserable. If you're living in sin, you're miserable. Do you hear me? When you are living in sin, you are miserable. It can't help but be that way. Well, hear me, dear church of God, church of the living God. Listen to me. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have a spring in your heels and a shout in your feet and a hallelujah. He wants to see your hands in the air, loving him and praising him. He don't want you to act like a dead somebody. He doesn't want you to act like it's a misery. Some people act like going to church is just a hard thing. That's your fault. How many can say with me, that's your fault? Oh, you know what? If the Holy Ghost would sweep through this place right now with joy, there is nothing that would make me happier. I want joy. How many will raise your hand and kind of prepare your heart for it? Do you want this joy? Do you want the Holy Ghost joy to flood your soul and to flood your life? Do you want people to look at you and say, why are you so happy? Hallelujah. I love that. I love it when people look at me and say, Joe Chambers, why are you so happy? I can tell them in a moment, I'm happy because the happier is living inside of me. He has washed me by the blood. He's filled me with joy. That's a work of the Spirit. By the blood, by the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. So he wants to fill you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now let's go another step. Do you know why most people today don't get healed in their bodies? It's because healing is by the blood of Jesus. Healing is a work of the redemption of Jesus Christ on that cross and in that hall of Pilate. Healing is an act that has been wrought by Jesus' death and his suffering. And you got to hear me now. Jesus' body never one time had one pain. There was no sickness in that sacred body. Why was the body of Jesus so pure of disease? Very simple. It was because the healing virtue of his blood, that divine blood, you see, in the body of Jesus was coursing a divine blood that knew no allegiance to sin. Oh, his blood didn't come from Adam. His blood came by the Holy Ghost. Do you hear me? He was a divine Savior. That holy thing, the angel said to the mother, that holy thing which is in thee shall be called the Son of God. You listen to me. That divine blood in him made him healthy and kept him healed and whole. And you are healed by the sacrifice of Jesus and the shedding of his blood. The beating that occurred upon his back that brought blood streaming from his body, every part of his body. Hallelujah. It's yours and you're healed by it. Somebody raise a hand and say, I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. Raise it way up high. I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. Now claim it right now. I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has stripped humankind of the bondage of sickness. And he came to heal you. He came to make you whole and to make you well. Pentecostal churches a few years ago, they were praying for the sick every service just about. I've read so many stories of the saints of God going to the home of a sick person. And while after they had prayed a while and God had visited the home, they would say to the person, get your clothes on and let's go on to church now. God has healed you and let's go and praise him. How many people have been healed like that through the years of the church? They have been in incredible numbers. Hallelujah. And he'll do it again when you know it's already been paid for. It's been earned. It's yours. The blood has done it. That divine blood coursing through his sacred body has now been spilled on a cross and then placed on the altar in the heavens for an offering for you. And everything that divine blood has accomplished is yours. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. rampant sorcery. Somebody raise your hand and just worship with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the power of the blood. By the power of the blood. I claim somebody in this building healed right now by the power of the blood. Claim it done and rest in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you know, when you go to talk about the blood of Christ, it just fills this Bible. It's such a beautiful thing. It's such a sacred thing. I love it. I love it. The next point, I want you to hear this now. I want you to listen. Please, please. When Jesus was at the house of Mary and Martha, and Lazarus had died, Jesus said something to them that's just really overwhelming. He said, your brother shall live again. The sister said, I know, at the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, we're not talking about nobody going to sleep and being sent to heaven. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the life that flows through you because of Christ, that life of the resurrection. See, the resurrection is not something that was just for the event and just as a testimony that he was truly the divine Son of God. That resurrection is something for you to live in. He said when he had arisen from the grave, because I live, they shall live also. Listen to that. Because I live, they shall live also. This resurrection is life inside of you right now. If the blood is being sprinkled and applied and you're living in the power of the blood, you see, a Christian ought to live in the power of the blood every day of their life. You read the Old Testament old time stories of the great writers of the past, Andrew, Mary. You can name numbers and numbers of them. And they wrote whole books on nothing but the blood, telling people to live in the power of the blood, live in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the power of that resurrection, which was the blood and the Holy Ghost. And you would have life, life, life. We are to be full of life. We're not to be full of death. We're not to sit around like we're dying, like a dying animal in a hailstorm. No, we are God's people. We belong to Christ. We've been given eternal life. That life flows in us like a river. Hallelujah. We are His. Jesus said, I will give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I don't know many Christians that's got abundant life. I really don't. And I cry out for it. I'm hungry for it. I'm hungry for it. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Most Christians I know don't even have a good sized creek. Oh, but he said he'd give us rivers of living water. That's this life. That's this life. This comes by the power of the resurrection. And you got to wait for it. You got to have prayer time for it. You'll need some fasting time for it. You're going to live in this Bible day after day after day. You got to learn to pray till the Holy Ghost overshadows you and saturates you. And when you do, you'll live in the power of this resurrection. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen to me this morning. There's nothing but the blood can make your life to be the rich life that heaven wants it to be. You got to understand, your families will be changed. Your children will be moved. Your loved ones will be awakened. Your neighbors will begin to see something different. The people you work around will begin to notice your life if you are full of this life flowing through you like a river. But it only comes by divine surrender, ultimate surrender, the blood of Jesus. Now, I want to try to close here with you somehow understanding that the blood of Jesus was divine blood. How many understand that? It was not natural blood. It was not blood like Mary had in her body. She was the mother. And the blood of a mother never interchanges with the blood of an infant. Their bodies are so created, and the growth of that child in the mother's womb is so protected that the mother's blood never touches the blood of that infant. The mother's blood may be of a different type than the blood of that infant that is living in her womb. Because they never interchange. They never interchange. The sin nature is imputed into a mother by the father who begets the child. So that every child beget of a man has a sin nature called the Adam nature. But this body of Mary never gave any blood to this child in her womb that was conceived by the Holy Ghost, so that Jesus was without the spot of sin. There was no sin nature. You say, Brother Chambers, that seems normal. Well, you better understand, much of the church world don't believe it today. They think there's sin. There was sin in the blood of Jesus. That his blood was no more perfect than the blood of any other human being. I'm here to tell you, his blood was divine blood. His blood knew no consequence of sin. Knew no nature of sin. It was without spot. It was without blemish. Hallelujah. That blood is mighty. It's dynamic. It's supernatural. It's on the altar of God in heaven in the Father's temple right now. And it's still atoning. And any person, any believer, any individual on the face of this earth can come to Christ and claim that blood, and it will wash them from sin. It will wash them from the power of sin. It will change their whole personality into that of a holy individual. It will give them wonderful joy in the Holy Ghost. It will give them strength to live a victorious life in the face of a dozen devils. Hallelujah. Because this blood is sufficient for every need of your life. Somebody stand up with me that believes that, will you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The blood is divine blood. I said the blood of Jesus is divine blood. I said the blood you're trusting in is divine blood. Now help me and let's believe for this. That blood you're trusting in is divine blood. Hallelujah. It knows no stain of sin. That blood is sufficient for every need of your life. If you're living an old cheap Christian life, it's your fault. It isn't God's. I feel like I'm preaching with all I've got. You know, and I feel like I'm telling you everything I know to tell you. And I'm telling you that blood, that spotless blood, that divine blood has an answer for every need in your life. You don't have a need that blood has not earned the right of victory for you. Hallelujah. You can have joy unspeakable. And some of you, I can look at you right now and tell you need something. Maybe, you know, I don't know whether you want had a call or whether you want the blood of Jesus to cleanse you and make you full of life. I'm here to tell you the blood of Jesus will fill you with life. Don't feel bad at me. I'm not trying to be mean at nobody. I just want to get through to you that you can have life. Would you raise your hand up high as you can get it? And would you tell God that right now you want the victory of this divine blood? That you want to live in this triumph of this divine blood? And you want this divine blood to break everything in your human flesh that is deplorable, that is not a victory, that is not triumphant, that is not in the power of Christ, and you want to be full of heaven. Hallelujah. I feel his Holy Ghost. I feel his Holy Ghost. Somebody shout it out. I feel his Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I don't care who you are right now. The blood of Jesus was given for your atonement. The blood of Jesus was given for your victory. The blood of Jesus was given to give you life unspeakable and full of joy. The blood of Jesus was given to make you a dynamic believer. Hallelujah. Just keep on praying. I want to hear you praying. Loving him. I claim it, Lord. I claim it, Lord. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Why? Why doesn't this church world come back to the power of the blood? I go to revival after revival, and it's been so long since I heard a sermon on the blood, it boggles my mind. Victory's in the blood. What did Paul say? God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory, saving that cross. That cross represents blood, friend. That cross represents the shedding of blood. hallowed the offering of an offering unto God for you. That's what he's selling out more. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want God's church to be full of joy again. I want God's church to be full of the Holy Ghost again. I want God's church to be full of excitement of a Christian life again. Would you meet me in the altar, please? Would you please meet me in the altar? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come praising the Lord. If you would come with hands uplifted. Come with hands in praise. Come to adore Him. Come to raise Him high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's not that I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way. Oh,